continue on this morning in our series on Jesus, the light of the world. And we're going to talk this morning for a few moments about light and life. The Bible says that Jesus brought life and he also brought light. I want you to turn with me, if you will, please, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and these words were penned by the prophet Isaiah 750 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Here's what Isaiah wrote under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He said, "The people who walk in darkness shall see a great light, a light that will shine on all those who live in the land of the shadow of death." So the Bible says Messiah was going to come into this world in a very dark time of world history. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 from the JBV version. You might wonder, what is that? I've never heard of that before. That's the Jerry Brooks version. And so this one, feel free to pitch if you don't like it, all right? The other one, you can't. But this one, let me just kind of paraphrase it for you this way. "To those stumbling in the dark, a great light will appear. And to those bound by the fear of death, the one who is the light and life shall suddenly appear." Last week, we discovered that it was a very dark moment in which Jesus came into this world. Matter of fact, as you look through history, you'll find that Israel was at an all-time low. The term dark perfectly describes the political and the spiritual condition of Israel at the time that Jesus was born. Think about it for a moment this morning once again. For 722 years, the land and the people of Israel had continuously been under the control of outside forces. That is approximately three times the entire span of America's history. So keep that in mind. For 722 years, they were ruled by others. First it was the Assyrians, and then it was the Babylonians, then it was the Persians, then it was Greece, and then finally it was Rome. They were never self-governing, always having the iron hand of someone else over their lives and over their nation. At the time of Jesus' birth, Rome was in power. And at this time, people had all they could take. They had been under control now for 700 and some years, and as a result of that, there was rebellions that began to pop up here and there. Historians record there's a number of notable insurrections led by various rebellious groups, and they were raising up their arm and fist against Roman occupation. One of which, and some of you that are students of history, you might remember the name of Simon Bar Kokhba. He is one of the best-known insurrectionists. Bar Kokhba and his followers, they caused much trouble for Rome, which was not to be tolerated. Soon they found themselves on the run and actually hiding in caves all around the area of Jerusalem. Their rebellion finally reached a climax of being crushed. Matter of fact, Rome brought in nearly half of all of their armies from all over the world to put down this rebellion in Israel. The Talmud records and actually chronicles the Romans killing so many Jews at that time at the Battle of Betar that the blood of the slaughtered Jews ran as deep as the nostrils of their horses and flowed like a river 40 miles all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Almost incalculable. As I said last week, one cannot fully appreciate the light that Jesus brought into the world without knowing the darkness that existed at the time of his birth. Remember now the prophetic word of Isaiah. Isaiah said, "The people who walk in darkness shall see at that moment, hope is coming, help is coming. The people who walk in darkness shall see a great light, a light that will shine on all those who live in the land of the shadow of death." 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us that God is light, and in him There is no darkness at all. Not only is God capable of sending light, the Bible says he is the very source of light. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 for a moment, which you will recognize as the creation account of the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 1, reading through verse 5, listen what it says. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." As you read there in the very first verse, the first 10 words of the Bible, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," it establishes God as the creator of all things, and he does so by means of what is called ex nihilo. Ex nihilo is a big word that simply means this: he created all things from nothing, that the power of his word was sufficient. When God gave the command, that's all it would take for the lights to shine, for life to be formed, for grass and for all the beautiful shrubs and herbs around the world. All it would take is a word of the Lord, and it would be done. So the first 10 words of the Bible, they establish then the fact that God is the creator of all things and that he did so ex nihilo. He made all things from nothing. There appears to be a parenthetical pause between verses 1 and 2. Remember, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." 10 words describing the beginning of all things. However, there is a pause between verse 1 and what we will read now here in verse 2. For verse 2 says that the earth that God had created was now formless and empty. The Bible says darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The word waters there literally means chaos. And so this planet that God had created somewhere, somehow, had now slipped into not only darkness, it had fallen into absolute chaos. Most Bible scholars believe that the darkness and the chaos on the earth at that time was the direct result of Lucifer having been banned from heaven because of his rebellion and then cast to the earth. And it stands to reason, for it is a fact, that everything that Satan touches, he trashes. So here is the earth that God had created. And there is no account of anything that God ever creates all throughout the Bible where it is less than perfect. And so now we find the perfect earth in the beginning that God created is now in darkness, it is in chaos, and all of the things we read about there in Genesis chapter 2. So it stands to reason then that the one whose MO we know from the New Testament, he robs, he kills, and he destroys. And so it is very likely, most scholars believe, Bible scholars that is, they believe that Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 2, is a recreation of the earth that God had created perfect, and then Lucifer, Satan, had brought all the chaos and the mess to it. So it is into this dark world, into this swirling, chaotic mess, that God commands, "Let there be light. Let the light penetrate every fiber, every cell, every molecule of creation." And the Bible says, and so it was. Now look at verse 14. It says, "And God said, 'Let there be lights in the vault of the sky, to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years.'" and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on earth. And so it was. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Friends, from the moment that God commanded, let there be light, I want you to think about the statistics of this for a moment. From the moment that God said, let there be light, according to recent calculations, anywhere between 1 and 4 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy alone began sending forth beams of pure light in every direction at 186,000 miles per second. At that precise moment, the photons of light began disseminating and going into the dark places, devouring the darkness in dimensions that we can only imagine. Astronomers estimate that there is approximately 500 billion galaxies like the galaxy that we live in today, and each one of them having many more stars than the Milky Way that surrounds our solar system. I often would think as a child, with a flashlight at night, and I would shine it up to the sky, and I'd wonder just how far would that beam of light go? And I would think to myself, maybe it's, 100 feet, maybe it's 500 feet, or maybe 1,000 feet, or whatever. Here's what science tells us, however, that if you were to shine even the lightest, candle-powered light into the sky, theoretically, that light will continue moving forward at the rate of 186,000 miles per second all the way to the very edge of the universe, even though it may take billions of years to get there. Think about it. God's word says that he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And when he saw the chaotic mess that Lucifer had made of his creation, then he comes and he says, let there be light. And it's the first thing that God says, this is good. And so he declares of his own words that this is good. This is a great creation. Day three of creation now. Day three brought vegetation springing up all over the earth. Now here's the deal. Light created an environment for life. Remember, the earth was in chaotic state. Not only was it chaos, it was deep into what? Say it, darkness. And the Bible says that darkness was all over the earth and all over this entire universe at that point. Light created then, when God said, let there be light, it created the environment for life. The Hebrew word that is used for light is or. Say it with me, or. And it's spelled phonetically in English, certainly not in the Hebrew, but in English it is spelled simply O-R, or. And the Hebrew word or means an illumination. So when the Bible says that God created light, he literally created and set in place these light photons that began to illuminate the dark places on this planet and around the universe. But it's interesting to also note here. So when God said, let there be light, there's more to it than just illumination. There is more than just what we would call natural light that God created in that moment. The word or also is the root word for aura, and that is spelled O-R-A-H. Comes from the same root. You can see that even in the phonetic spelling, which refers not only to illuminating light, but more precisely to happiness, joy, and delight. So when God created light, he created not only the illumination of light, he also created joy and happiness, and it's all many times created and all in the same emphasis of natural light, and we call that a delight. You know, the term delight really means out of fullness comes forth this not only light, but comes forth joy. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, amen? And the Bible says that, you know, let the people of the Lord say so. We ought to be the most happy people on planet Earth. COVID cannot take away our joy. The economy cannot take away our joy. Situations cannot take away our joy. Whether you're happy with what, you know, the outcome is of the election, or if you're not, let me tell you, my joy is not based on the White House. It is based on the God that said, let there be light. Now, I'm sure that many have heard the term, or possibly even suffered from, what is called SAD, S-A-D. SAD is a seasonal affective disorder. It's what it's called, the S-A-D. SAD is a depression that is caused directly by the lack of sunlight. You know, seasonal depression for many is a real difficult thing, and it often begins late in the fall and through the early winter months as the hours of sunlight diminishes little by little. And as it diminishes little by little, many find themselves finding their joy of everyday life and happiness going along with the sunlight. I have family members that live in Jostedal, Norway. Jostedal, Norway is a very small little village. It is located in a very deep valley between two towering mountains, just 200 miles from the Arctic Circle. And due to their geographic location there in Jostedal, the winter months, those family members that live there, they tell me there's less than and no more than 15 minutes of direct sunlight every day, because the sun is either behind the mountain coming from the east, or when it begins to cross over, there's only 15 minutes of direct sunlight. Otherwise, it's always hid. Matter of fact, if you were to go to Norway today and up to Jostedal, the sun would not arise until about 9:15 in the morning and sets at about 3:10 in the afternoon. And so it's only overhead during this very short period of time, 15 minutes, and there's 15 minutes into that valley in which they live. And as a result of that, there's a lot of alcoholism. There is a lot of depression in that small little village and in that area. And it's directly related to the fact that there's so little sunlight. And there's, you know, it's something we've all experienced. You get up in the morning and if it's sunny outside and the rays are coming into your bedroom and, you know, it's just you want to get up and go out and face the day. And then other days you wake up and maybe you got to kind of fight your way through it because, you know, the skies are occluded and, you know, it's rainy and it's, you know, just kind of a, you know, cloudy, miserable looking day on the outside. A little hard to get yourself going in those moments. Well, here's what they've discovered. One of the measures used to ward off this SAD is the use of light therapy. Light therapy employs the use of artificial light, which replicates the light spectrum of the sun. And this form of light therapy has been proven to be very effective in warding off SAD. I'm going to tell you, there's another son, S-O-N, the Son of God. He is better than even the sunlight for driving away the dark and the blueness of our lives and carrying us through every single day. The psalmist said in Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? I am so glad that we have a source of light that is greater than the physical sun. It comes from the Father above through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. My grandma Brooks had a little 4-inch cross that would absorb light during the day and then glow in the dark at night. This cross she had attached to her ceiling light pull cord that was located just above her bed. Now, I didn't realize Grandma had this little cross hanging there above her bed so that when she would wake up during the night and want to find the light cord, she could find it because the little cross would be glowing. And this cross would glow in the dark because it had been charged during the day. And one night when I was probably 5 years old, I spent the night at Grandma's house. She lived in an apartment. I was sleeping on the couch in the living room. And I had either a very disturbing dream or whatever it was. And so I got up. I wanted Grandma's comfort. I walked into her bedroom, and I saw that cross hovering above her bed, spookily suspended in midair like it was levitating, which scared me nearly to death. I ran from her bedroom, jumped back on the couch, covered my head with the blankets, and fervently prayed for the light of the sun to come again. You know, just as that cross absorbed the light of the day and then glowed during the night, so do the people who spend time with God. There is a glow that comes on individuals that know how to enjoy spending time with God. You know, Moses' encounter with God on Mount Sinai is a great example of this. Take your Bibles and look with me at Exodus 34, starting with verse 28. It says, Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. So he was fasting this entire time, these 40 days while he was on Mount Sinai. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Notice there, it was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses' face was radiant and were afraid to come near him, they all did what I did. They all ran for the bedroom and covered their heads under the sheets. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. Then whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what had been commanded. They saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went back in to speak with the Lord. It is interesting here, his time spent with God on Mount Sinai literally caused Moses' face to have a radiance to it. Now, friends, we may not have a physical radiance, but I'll tell you what it says in the New Testament with those that spent time with Jesus. They said they took note that these disciples, these followers of Jesus, were unlettered men. Now, that word unlettered means that behind their name, they did not have a PhD, they did not have MD, they did not have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. It means they're unlettered. And they called them at that time ignorant men. And so they said they took note of the fact that these unlettered, ignorant men, there is something about them that is unique and special, and the only thing we can, you know, fix it to is the fact they've been with Jesus. And I want you to know, when you spend time with Jesus, it makes a difference. It makes a difference in your life, and it will make a difference in the lives of those that you come in contact with, just as it did with Moses and as it did with the disciples that we read about in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "For God who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made us understand that it is the brightness of his glory that is seen in the face of Christ Jesus." Here is what that is saying to us. It is saying that the glory we saw in Christ Jesus as the Son of God living amongst us here on this planet, the sheen that was on him, the radiance, his glory that he had surrendered in heaven and preparing to come down to a deep and dark, chaotic world. The Bible says that that glory was the glory of the Father radiating forth from the Son. Jesus said, "He that has seen me hath seen the Father." Now in 2 Peter, rather in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen people." That's you, that's me, that's all the children of God. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of" what? Say it. "Called you out of darkness and into his" what? "His wonderful light." Friend, I want you to know this morning, God is calling you out. He is calling you out of every bit of darkness. He is calling you into his marvelous light. He is calling you out of spiritual darkness. He's calling you out of deeds of darkness. He is calling you out of the darkness of depression, of confusion, and of chaos. The Bible tells us that in the dark hour, when Israel was at its lowest ebb, the Messiah would come and he would bring light and he would bring life. You see, in order for there to be life, there needs to be light. And so first God created the light, and then it set the environment where there was now the possibility of sustaining that life. And so he created life. To those stumbling in the dark, a great light will appear, and those bound by the fear of death, the one who is the light and the life shall suddenly appear. You know what I've discovered is the first four words of the Bible, they have absolute changing power. In the beginning, God. But then when you get to verse 2, four words there, "Let there be light." And there was light. You know what I've discovered is there's two parts to all of that. Number one, it's your will. It's your will saying, "I've lived long enough in chaos. I've lived long enough in darkness. I've lived long enough in depression. I've lived long enough in this chaotic state." And when you say that, "Let there be light." And you say, "God, bring light and life into my life." It is at that moment that God responds, and the God that sent forth all the stars and the sun and the moon and all these galaxies round about us that are filled with light, he'll send light into your life. Your will is, "Let there be light." And God's command is, "Let there be light." This morning, maybe you are really in a moment of chaos in your life, chaos in your family. It's a time of great disruption. Maybe you feel the darkness. We certainly have more than 15 minutes of direct sunlight, but maybe you're one that's, you know, subject to, and you've just really been down, discouraged. Maybe you look to the future and you say, "You know, things are a mess politically, they're a mess spiritually, they're a mess in my home, they're a mess at my job. Everywhere I look, it's full of darkness." I'm here to tell you this morning, all it takes is the command, "Let there be light." And God will bring forth light and life into your heart and life. Will you bow your heads with me, please? Father, this morning I believe that you want to bring light and you want to bring life. That you are the one that brought the beautiful creation of the world that's round about us, that we can see when darkness and chaos covered the earth. You said, "Let there be light. Let there be an end to the chaos. Let there be order." And Father, I believe you're about to do that in the lives of men and women this morning. You're going to speak the word. And once the word has been spoken, there is no power in hell that can hold it back. Once the light begins to shine, it's going to move at 186,000 miles per second in the natural and even faster in the spiritual realm. Father, I pray for those today that are saying, I just feel the darkness and I'm tired of living this way. I need some light and life inside of me. And I pray, Lord, that in these next few moments, Lord, that you bring light and you'll bring life just as you did when you came to Israel in its darkest hour. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say this morning, Pastor, will you pray for me? I'm in one of those chaotic spiritual states. I know that I'm not right with God, and God has been speaking to me and calling me. And I want to respond this morning by simply saying, Lord, let there be light in my life. I want your light, your life. And I want your spirit to regenerate all the chaos in my life. And I want to surrender to Jesus Christ today. And you're saying, Pastor, that's what's in my heart. I don't know exactly how to pray it, but that's what's in my heart. Will you pray for me this morning? Let me just see your hands up real high. No one looking about. It's a sacred moment. There are scores of hands going up all over this room. How many would say today, Pastor, you know, I've been facing some depression. And it's just, you know, it's kind of overwhelming at times. And I need God's help. Will you pray for me? Let me see your hand. You're saying, that's where I'm at. Yes, hands going up all over. This morning, I want to pray for you. Father, I pray right now, Lord, for men and women that are in this room that are saying they want to experience the light, but they want to experience the life. They want more than illumination. They want their joy, the joy of the Lord, to be their strength. Lord, others in the room today, and they're just saying, you know, I'm so ashamed of the life I've lived. I've known that it's wrong, but I've just not had the power to break free. But I realize that Jesus is the answer. And so I say, let there be light in my life. And God responds by saying, let there be light. Father, I pray today, the men and women in this room, as they simply from their own heart pray, and if this is your prayer, you pray it with me just from your own heart. Say, Jesus, I'm tired of the darkness. I'm tired of the chaos. I'm tired of joyless living. I ask you, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my past. Come and live inside of my heart from now and all days, present to future. I give myself to you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. Thank you, Lord, for the difference you're going to make. And Lord, I pray for those that are going through, whether it's the seasonal time of depression and discouragement with the lack of light. Lord, to the one that feels like they've just been under the attack of the enemy. And all the enemy does is rob, kill, and destroy. And what we see that he did to God's wonderful creation in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we ask, oh God, you do that restorative work in the lives of men and women here today. Families, Lord, I pray that families would be reconciled. Lord, situations, Lord, where they've almost given up and they've thrown in the towel and it's just too far gone, it's too late, it's too dark. Lord, I pray that you'd send the light, send the life. Lord, I pray that faith would arise and that today would be a new day. And I thank you, Lord, for the light and for the life that only comes through the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're in the house today and you're saying, you know, I believe God has started a good work in my life, but I want to seal that moment. And we have friends that would love to pray with you this morning. And so if you want to come and maybe you just made a commitment to Christ, you're saying, you know, I just want some extra prayer, Or maybe you're facing some of the things we've talked about, and you just want a little extra prayer this morning as we sing that song one more time. Let me encourage you to come. We're going to pray with you, pray for you. Our team members are here. They'll love on you. They'll pray for you. And we're going to expect God to do a miracle for you as he says, let there be what? Be light. Amen. Well, so far in our series, it's just a mini series, only three messages long. The first week we talked about darkness. Today we talk about light. And now on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and on Thursday at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, there are three opportunities for Christmas Eve services. And we're going to be talking about Jesus, the light of the world. And we're going to bless his holy name as he has blessed us. So it's going to be a great time. Let me pray God's blessings over you as you go out to serve him. Father, we thank you that we can walk in the light, live in the light, and we can share the light. Pray, oh God, your blessing now to be upon each and every one as they go out of this house today to make a difference in this world. May the glow of the Spirit be upon each one, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the church said, amen. God's best. Have a marvelous day in the Lord. We love you.